Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome to another Sunday night of Max and Friends. Listen, it's very simple how we're going to do the show tonight. You're going to tweet me, at Max Tucci, like you always do, and tell me what's going on with your lives. Tune in, relax, sit back, chill out. If you're listening to us via latalkradio.com, then I recommend you go get the LA Talk Radio app right now. It is free, and it is good, and we're on Channel 1 every Sunday night at 8 p.m., so definitely meet me there on the app. It's so much easier, and every Sunday night you could take me to bed with you. How you doing, everybody? So tonight we've got a fun show, because we've got a couple things going on. We're going to give you some political hot topics. That's true. We haven't done that in a while. And I think it's time that we do that. And then also we have Nikki Haskell joining us and Hunter Cross is joining us and Big Ange from Mob Wives. So Big Ange is going to drop by and tell us what's going on with her life, with her cancer, with the final season of Mob Wives, and also just life in general. So, and how you all inspire her. So tonight we're going to have some fun. We're going to play some music, I think. We'll just let the show, it's a grassroots show tonight. I am literally like ready to go. Packing my bags to go to Sundance this week. And then just a whirlwind is happening. Plus, we had a wonderful event for the Arc of Palm Beach. You know, I'm doing their cowboy ball in one of the chairs there. So we had a party for that. And then just like running around in Florida, you know, I'm here in Florida now, had some crazy like tornado-ish weather. So it's been like a weird day. And I'm just ready to go to sleep. But I would never leave you all hanging on Max and Friends. Never. Hey, Ford, thank you for listening. I see your tweet or your text, whatever it is. But yes, before Big Ange joins me, we're going to have Nikki Haskell and Hunter Cross here in just a little bit. Hey, last night I went to a very interesting art gallery at the SilverScreensArtist.com in Florida. And Tina Louise was there, and so were some other. Tony Dow was there. Freddie Pacheco, no, how do you say his name? Pacheco was there. He was the doctor physician to Muhammad Ali. So, and they are all artists, and there was some pretty incredible work. And Tina Louise, I had her sign for me a 1955 article about being the beauty queen at Oscars Delmonico. And our interaction was quite interesting and fun. So, on that note, what else? What's going on with you all? Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know. I'm just like doing a Facebook update right now. Are you following me on my Facebook page, the Max Tucci page? It's fun. It's a cool place. I post a lot of stuff up there. And then also on Instagram, to the Max Tucci. And for listen, whoever has Max Tucci on Instagram, y'all need to give it up because we've been asking you forever to give it up and you all haven't. So please give it up so I can have Max Tucci on Instagram. thank you. I would like to say that. So listen, I promised you that we're going to do a New Year, New You show, The Vitamin Solution. That's the book that we're going to talk about. But we've got to wait because next week I'm going to be in Sundance. So I'm covering that for Ion South Florida. And Sean Scott's going to be covering the show live so that we have a live show for you. Then the following weekend, I'm going to be in New York. And then the following weekend, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Colorado. It's my birthday, Valentine's Day. So if you all want to wish me happy birthday, just go to Twitter, at Max Tucci. Send me love there. I appreciate it. But hey, Patty. Patty is my dental hygienist. She gave me a beautiful smile Friday. We went in for a cleaning. It was all good and fun. So she's shouting out on Facebook right now. But here's the deal. I don't remember how we're going to do this. So Ronnie, what are we going to do first? We're going to do some hot topics, and then we're going to have Big Ange join us later. So right now, let's throw in hot topics. Now, wait, before we throw that, we are going to talk about with Hunter Cross tonight for sure, and Nikki Haskell, the whole Donald Trump hot topic with Ted Cruz and hating on New York. Now, I'm a born and raised New Yorker. So in true spirit of New York, Ted Cruz, you need to take a couple seats and sit down. You don't diss New York. But let's talk about that in Hot Topics.
Hey, y'all, guys and dolls. Pick a topic and you know we're going to drop it on.
And now, Donald Trump speaks. Doesn't he? Do we have that video?
I am from New York.
Well, you're from New York, so yeah. You might not. But I promise you, in the state of South Carolina, they do. And listen, there are many, many wonderful, wonderful working men and women in the state of New York. But everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage, focus around money and the media. And I would note, indeed, the reason I said that is I was asked, my friend Donald has taken to at his events playing Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. And I was asked what I thought of that, and I said, well, if he wanted to play a song, maybe he could play New York, New York. And you know, the concept of New York values is not that complicated to figure out. Not too many years ago, Donald did a long interview with Tim Russert. And in that interview, he explained his views on a whole host of issues that were very, very different from the views he's describing now. And his explanation, he said, look, I'm from New York. That's what we believe in New York. Those aren't Iowa values, but this is what we believe in New York. And so that was his explanation. And I guess I can frame it another way. Not a lot of conservatives come out of Manhattan. I'm just saying.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Sushi. That was Ted Cruz. And we have a lot to say, too, because Nikki Haskell is joining me. Hunter Cross is here. Nikki, welcome back to Max and Friends.
Hi, sweetheart. How are you?
How are you, darling? Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too, and to everyone that's listening to us tonight. I mean, can
yes.
we talk or what?
We need to talk, and Hunter's here, too. Hey, Hunter, how you doing?
Hey, how you doing, Max? Hey, how are you doing,
sweetheart? Well, I think, you know, of course, I'm a major Donald Trump fan, but fair is fair. I'm really sort of open to everything. I want to hear everything that everyone has to say.
Well,
and
Nikki,
debates. Give me a break.
I want to hear what you have to say right now about Ted Cruz dissing on New York. How does that make you feel, especially being that you're a New Yorker?
I'm from Beverly Hills, but my heart is in New York. How about the cover of the Daily News showing the Statue of Liberty giving Ted Cruz the finger? I mean, I never saw anything like that. You know, a lot of people said that he did that on purpose to draw Donald out and make him sort of a bad guy. But the truth of the matter is I think he stuck his, you know, old foot in his mouth because it really came back to haunt him. How could he say anything like that? I mean, I think New York is, and I think Donald was so amazing, and I think the way he handled it was so sophisticated and diplomatic and truthful, because he was there during that time. He was there during the 9/11, and he was there during how the New Yorkers band together. It was really an amazing time. I was in Los Angeles the day that 9/11 happened. But it was a very bizarre thing that before 9/11, the whole summer, I was in Europe with Ivana Trump. And I knew that there was something going on. And I kept telling somebody, something's going on, trust me, because we were with all these Arab friends and everything. I thought they were going to attack Israel. And when they actually attacked, you know, the Twin Towers, everybody called me and said, no shit, they actually did it. I mean, it was... I can't imagine that the United States, I heard that, you know, that Bush knew about it and never really followed up on it, and he was such a lame duck president.
You suggested Mr. Trump embodies New York values. Could you explain?
We're going to talk about that. That was the SNL skit, but I agree with you, Nikki. Hunter, what do you have to say about all this?
Well, you know, I think it's just... Go ahead, Nikki.
I think that Donald Trump speaks for the voice of America, okay? Yes, he's tough. Yes, he's rough. And I think he's actually going to get Cruz. They sued him today because he only gave up his citizenship in Canada like 18 months ago. What is that?
Yeah, no, well, Hunter Cross, I know Hunter has a lot to say because we spoke before and Hunter's pissed too. So, Hunter, what did you think about the whole Donald Trump, Ted Cruz thing?
Well, first of all, to me, when I hear someone talk about New York values, immediately what comes into my mind is Jews. I think when people refer to New York values and New York sensibilities, to me that rings of anti-Semitism. And it doesn't surprise me coming from a guy like Ted Cruz. I think that Ted Cruz thought that maybe, you know, Donald Trump's getting so much traction on saying outrageous things, and he's almost like a Teflon candidate. Things roll off of Donald Trump because Donald Trump has a persona. He's brash. He says crazy stuff. And, you know, it's just part of who he is. Ted Cruz, on the other hand, I think has a completely different persona. And when Ted Cruz says outrageous shit, it sticks. And I think this is going to be the beginning of the end for Ted Cruz. That's my point of view. I don't think he can come out against...
A lot of people said that he did that on purpose.
Well,
of course he did.
You know, here's one thing that, Hunter, this resonates with you. Nikki, this was the SNL Saturday night. This was the clip that they did. It was hysterical, and it spoke the truth for a lot of people who heard Ted Cruz. So let's play that right now, and then I want to hear, Nikki, what you have to say. Hit it. Do we have it? We have some of it. I don't hear it. All right, well, the bottom line was, can we get it one more time, Ronnie? We're having just a little technical difficulty with this clip.
I think most people know exactly what New York values are. And frankly, they are not the rest of the country's values. Instead of celebrating Christmas, New Yorkers celebrate a pagan holiday called Festivus. Instead of watching American football, they challenge each other to masturbation contests. In New York, people don't say hi to their neighbors. They say, hello, Newman.
Sounds like you're describing the TV show Seinfeld. Is that what you mean by New York values?
Believe me, if I could say liberal Jews, I would.
Well, Hunter,
I find that so disgusting. First of all, I'm Jewish, and I'm proud to be Jewish. And Donald's daughter, Ivanka, converted to Judaism. She's Orthodox Jewish. And I think, and Donald was married in the Catholic Church, and he is the most liberal person when it comes to, you know, religion and stuff. I mean, I just find this whole thing, I find Ted Cruz so offensive and so distasteful. I wouldn't vote for him if he were, I would move out of the country before I'd vote for him.
Hunter, what do you have to say?
Well, I'm not going anywhere, so, you know, I don't care whether Ted Cruz is in charge or not. But let me tell you, I think that it was intentional. I think Ted Cruz is a bigot. Ted Cruz stood up there and railed against what he called New York values, and that is pro-gay marriage. That's what was
right.
The whole other list?
Abortion, pro-gay marriage.
Right. He listed liberal values, and among them, civil rights like the ability of gay people to marry each other, that he considers a New York value because it offends his Christian sensibilities. You know, as much as I respect people, whatever their faith may be, and even though we may disagree, the fact is that he believes that his calling is higher and better than everybody else's. And that's a very, very dangerous place to be. A guy, I don't know Donald Trump personally, so I couldn't speak as Nikki does about his personal points of view about religion and respect for other people's values. But it just seems to me that if you come from New York, if you come from a place where it's a melting pot, where there's people from all
right.
over the world, there's people of every
exactly
single different
right.
religion, you can't help but interact with those people. And when you know people and when these people are a part of your orbit, you can't help but understand that they are people just like you. And even if they believe something different than you, their beliefs have value. I don't think that's something that Ted Cruz ascribes to. it's either my way or the highway for Ted Cruz. And I think that he thought he'd be able to
To me, Ted Cruz is a real loser. I don't understand him at all. I think he's boring. I mean, how would you like him? I don't see anything socially, emotionally, or economically attractive about him. I think he's a real first-class loser. Did you see today in the Post about the thing about Bernie Sanders? They said, don't be confused with Bernie Sanders. He's really a communist.
Well, Hunter, what do you have to say?
I'm not big on the labels. I think
Bernie Sanders looks like he just left the delicatessen.
Well, maybe so. He could use a haircut. I'll give him that.
But, you know, we're just getting a tweet right now, and people, New Yorkers, you know, I'm a New Yorker, Nikki. People are pissed about Ted Cruz. And no matter how much we say, whatever we have to say about it, New York is revolting against him. Do you think that this is it for him, Nikki?
I think it's it for him. You know, I shot 300 television shows, most of which are from New York. New York is the heartbeat of America. You know, New York really is so important to the rest of the world. When people talk about the United States, you think they talk about Oklahoma? They talk about New York.
Right.
People
and when you
come,
talk, when you
people
say
come from all
when you
over
list
the world, New York is I mean, the Statue of Liberty is there for one reason, because it sees everyone from every country, from everyone all over the world. New York is the harbor. There are more different populations of all different people from all over the world. It's the melting pot of the world. It's got more going on. You know what they say, when you leave New York, you aren't going anywhere.
Hunter, what do you have to say? Do you think this is it for Ted Cruz?
When you list what you consider New York values, as Ted Cruz did, people in Philadelphia, in L.A., in Miami, in Chicago, and every other major city in this country wake up and say, hey, those are the same values that we have here. And when you come out against an entire population of people because you believe they're all cut from the same cloth, I think that that means that you're out of touch. You're out of touch with really mainstream America. And I do think it's the end for Ted Cruz.
He's a yokel. He's really out. You know something? That was the most offensive. I mean, I thought it the most offensive thing anyone ever said. I was just totally, I could not believe it. And I must say, to Donald's credit, because I thought Donald was going to probably haul off and slug him in the mouth. But I thought he handled it with such his accuracy and his compassion and his knowledge of what New York is really about was so amazing to me. You know, Donald is, a lot of people that are in New York travel all over the world and everything. Donald's a real New Yorker. He was born and bred in New York. He's a real New Yorker. And listen, people love Donald. Donald is a leader. This guy's a follower.
Isn't that the truth? Well, here's the thing. You know, Hunter, I want to ask you, do you really think what Donald brought up about the whole being born in Canada is an issue for Ted Cruz?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
I think it's an issue that I think Trump handled it beautifully. True that, you know, it would be inappropriate for Trump to be the one who raises the issue in court or to bring legal proceedings against him. But I do think that you have to stop and pause. When you read the articles from that are written by prominent constitutional scholars raising the question, not necessarily all reaching the same conclusion, but where you have scholars that are debating an issue such as whether or not being a natural-born citizen means you have to actually be born in the United States. When that is a real issue, I think that you have to consider whether or not you want to invest your vote in someone who may not even be eligible to run. So I think
right,
it needs to be handled.
He was a Canadian citizen up until 18 months ago, and then he became an American. He had dual citizenship. Okay, well, you
well,
know,
but having dual citizenship doesn't disqualify you. Having dual citizenship doesn't qualify you. What disqualifies you from being able to run for president is not being a, well, I'm talking about as far as the Constitution reads. What disqualifies you under the Constitution from being qualified to run for president or be president is that you haven't, you are not a natural born citizen, meaning that you are not born in the United States. So if you're not born in the United States, and if in fact the court construes that natural born means natural born, that you have to be born here and not naturalized, then that means he's not qualified. So I'm not taking a position on that. I'm not a constitutional scholar. But I do think that it's something
it's gonna
that
be an
should
interesting,
have...
But it's going to be interesting to find out what happened. I heard that they sued...
He should have had a declaratory action already. He should have had this resolved in the courts before now. It's way too late for him to be running for president.
He looks like one of the monsters to me.
I love you guys.
I wish you a happy new year, but I have to go. I give you a big kiss. Goodbye, Max. I'll speak to you.
Love you for being
later,
here, Nikki.
Okay?
I love what you I love all you have to say. Have fun at Soho House. Bye, Nikki.
Okay, bye.
All right, so here... So, Hunter, no, you know, Nikki brings up a lot of facts that people are pissed with Ted Cruz. You know, I mean, it just blew my mind that he actually had the balls to say what he did about New York. Do you think he really processed and registered what he was saying, or do you think it was off the cuff?
Well, I saw the clip where they showed that he sitted at a campaign rally. I'm not sure whether it was well thought out or whether it was something that just popped out of off the top of his head. But he doubled down on it. There's no doubt about it. When you go on a national stage, like during the Republican debates, and you double down on what you said rather than retreat from it and say, oh, I was just said something stupid. You know, that's fair. You say something stupid, own up to it. But no, he doubled down on it. So whether or not he meant to say it to begin with, or not, doesn't really matter, because now he's made that a part of his pitch. Listen, we know that he's a conservative. We know he has conservative points of views on both on so-called family values and economics and what have you, and guns. My God, you'd think that this country was going to absolute hell with the need for the weaponry that these folks were talking about at the Republican debates. I found that almost amazing. That was the biggest issue we had to worry about. But as far as Ted Cruz is concerned and what he said, I think that he decided after he said it at a rally, and then he decided to double down on it because he thought, you know what, let me say something outrageous. Let me get a lot of press for a change. Instead of Donald being the only one who gets to say outrageous stuff and has, you know, gets a lot of free media attention. So I think he decided, let me say something outrageous that gets me some airtime. But unlike Donald Trump, who raises issues in an inflammatory way, issues that actually have to be discussed. You know, the immigration issue. An issue has to be discussed. Trump raises the issue in an inflammatory way and starts a conversation. Cruz didn't raise an issue that needs conversation in an inflammatory way. He just spouted off bigotry. And I don't think that gets you very far.
Well, it doesn't get him far, and what it got him was a lot of haters. But, you know, I want to talk to you about the whole debate because you know, when I saw it, to me, I feel like they all knew what the questions were and had their answers almost canned. Did you feel the same way?
Yeah, I when they would ask questions directly to the candidate, it was almost as if the candidate had already known what the question was going to be, and they gave canned responses. I like the other debates, which were rather spirited with them going after each other on various issues. This time, they really didn't go after each other, you know, with some few exceptions. By and large, when they lobbed a question at the candidate, it was a softball and gave the candidate the opportunity to give his little stump speech. It did not seem natural to me at all. But beyond the manner in which they conducted the debate, the biggest thing for me was I was having a hard time figuring out what country these people lived in. The way they were describing the country and the condition of the country and where we are economically and militarily, that our military is destroyed, our economy is destroyed. I didn't understand what country they lived in. It's not the country I live in. It seems like they've decided to frighten the voters into thinking that we really are in a terrible time and that we need somebody like them, that they have the answer somehow. Although it seems like to me the answers that they have are to arm Americans, and I really don't quite understand how that is going to solve any of the problems that we have. But nevertheless, it seemed like they live in a parallel universe. They live in a place where America is in terrible shape. There's always room for improvement, of course, but given where we were when President Obama took office after George Bush, we've come a long way.
Now, people are going to say, well, yeah, that's just, you know, you're such a Democrat in saying that. But in fact, you know, we have issues with X, Y, and Z, with A, B, and C. What do you say to the people who are against what you just said?
Well, you know, people can you can always argue facts, and you can argue when you listen to the statistics that people quote about how terrible the country is and how slow the recovery is and what have you. I mean, those are facts as well. I'm not saying that the country is in the best economic shape it's ever been. What I'm saying is that when you compare where we were in 2008 to where we are now, we've come an awfully long way. Unemployment is half. The stock market is booming. Gas prices are low. Millions of people have health care that didn't have it before. Obamacare didn't destroy America as it was promised by the right. So there are so many things positive about where we are right now as a country. I'm not saying that you have to vote for a Democrat, otherwise it's all going to go to hell in a handbasket. What I'm saying is that the campaign that's being run by the Republicans is a campaign of negativity, not a campaign of let's build on where we are, and I have a solution to how to really get the economy revving up even faster than it has. No, they're describing a economy and a country that is in despair, and it simply isn't true.
Well, you know, they'll say that it is true, and they'll believe that it is true, and they will continue to say that it's true, and they'll continue to say that our president right now has really screwed America up, for lack of better words. But what do you say to all of that? Seriously, like, you know, we have to really just cut out all of the bullshit, you know, and talk to people like one-on-one. Like, this is real. This is really what's happening. Like you said, you know, they've painted this picture that America is this, like, you know, it's like a third world country right now. And, you know, what do you, forgetting all of like the political correctness, what is it that your message, Hunter, that you want people to know for when it comes time to vote, not how they should vote, but, you know, why it's important to vote for certain people and where this country really is right now? What do you want to tell them?
Well, personally, while it is true that I favor liberal values, I'm not a dyed-in-the-wool Democrat necessarily. I was a Republican, registered Republican for most of my adult life. And then when I felt that the party abandoned me by leaving its core values of stay out of your business, which is what the Republican Party historically, the Republican Party of Richard Nixon and even Ronald Reagan to a certain extent was the Republican Party was stay out of your business. They were a pro business party, a party of lower taxes, but a party that empowered people to live their own lives. When Karl Rove became the go-to advisor for the Republicans during George Bush the first and George W. Bush's campaigns, they decided to pander to this part of the electorate that felt they had no voice, and that is the Christian fundamentalists. The gun-toting folks in the middle America who really felt they didn't have a voice at all, that they didn't think the Republicans spoke to them and they didn't think the Democrats spoke to them. So the Republican Party filled that void, and what they did was they departed from their core values of stay out of people's business, and instead they get into people's business. They tell you who you can marry. They tell a woman what kind of health care she can get. And these are the kinds of values I think that are really not national political issues. These are personal issues. If you don't choose to have an abortion, then don't have one. If you don't choose to marry someone of the same sex, well, then don't. Why are these national political issues? These are personal issues, and the Republican Party historically, before the last 20 years, stood for staying out of your way when it came to those issues. Now they've decided to get involved in that. So for me, the Republican Party abandoned my values, and I don't support the values of getting in people's business or telling women what kind of health care they can get and defunding Planned Parenthood and things like that. These are issues that shouldn't be national issues at all. And for me, when it comes to choosing whether you're going to vote for one party or another. I think that hopefully when people decide on who to vote for eventually, they'll vote for the Democrat, whether it's Hillary Clinton or whether it's Bernie Sanders or whether it's Martin O'Malley or whoever runs for the Democrats, because for me the most important thing is who sits on the Supreme Court for the next decade or so. If we elect a Republican, potentially these kinds of social issues that have become so important to the Republican Party, I think will become ingrained in American law via the appointment of strict constructionist right-wing Supreme Court justices. If we get more liberal-minded Supreme Court justices,
now here's the thing, kind of, you know, I appreciate all you're saying, and I've just got to wrap up in time because Big Ange is joining us shortly. But here's the thing. People are listening right now, and they're listening to all that you're saying, and they're like, what is he saying? Wrap it up into, you know, without – like, wrap it up into a point where people who have never heard about any of this understand it.
The most important – if you want to preserve your own personal freedoms, if you want to preserve your right to be able to – if you're a woman, if you want to preserve the right to be able to have an abortion if you choose to, if you want to have access to health care, if you're a excuse me, if you are, you have family members who are gay and they want to marry someone that they love, if you want those rights to be preserved, then what's important is to make sure that you vote for a Democrat so that the a Democratic president can appoint people to the Supreme Court so that long term, this country will remain on a progressive course. And if there is someday a Republican with a Supreme Court that has liberal-minded people, we may have – maybe the Republicans will return to the stay-out-of-your-business philosophy and get back to the more conservative financial and political points of view that they had 20 years ago and abandon this whole nonsense of trying to pander to people who are prejudiced and the bigotry.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that note, we've got to get back to Max and Friends, and enough political talk for tonight. Is that fair, Hunter Cross?
That's fair.
But you know what I do want to talk about? You know what I want to talk about next time you're here is that 1955 article about Ike giving asking $3.5 billion aid in China crisis. That's a whole nother topic, but it's a fun one. That's a political – it's just bizarre. But I got to lighten this show up. I got to bring Big Ange in. We got to have some fun with her. So Hunter Cross, I thank you so much for joining us on Max and Friends.
Good night.
Good night. All right, everybody. We're going to switch it up right now. What's everybody listening to?
L.A. Talk Radio.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. If you're tuning in for the first time tonight, thank you so much for being here. Tweet me at Max Tucci. Let's start a relationship there. I want to have an affair with you on Twitter at Max Tucci. So Big Ange is going to join me now, but y'all know this theme song. So this was from season one. Hit it. Well, that just had, like, no sound to it. So what is everybody listening to here? I gotta juice this up.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
Yeah, Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That's Monroe King. Shout out to Monroe King. Love you, boo. And she does the Max and Friends intros. Sharon Agati from London, from the UK. Y'all know her from the Real World London. She sings the Max and Friends Hot Topics. So shout out to them. Hey, y'all, get the LA Talk Radio app and tune in every Sunday night to Max and Friends and throughout the whole week because we got a whole bunch of shows here on LA Talk Radio. Check out latalkradio.com. Have fun there. But without any further ado, I have to welcome my guest to the show tonight. Y'all been waiting for her. You're tweeting me, letting me know. So without any further ado, welcome to Max and Friends, my friend, Big Ange. How you doing, Big Ange?
Well, hello, everybody. Thanks for having me.
I'm
new here right now. I know people are saying they like it. I'm not too crazy about it.
So what prompted you to cut the hair?
I was just feeling kind of crappy after all the medicine and stuff. So I just thought it was time to start it over.
To start it all over. Now, how are you feeling? I mean, that's the most important part.
I'm doing good. Everything is good.
And right now you're in New York with your family, right?
I'm actually laying in bed with my grandchildren as we speak.
So,
Angelina and Salvatore.
The joys of your life.
Yes, they are.
So I want to go back, because now this is the final season of Mob Wives. People want the show to continue.
Oh, I know. Don't make me depressed. That makes me so sad.
Well, why don't they do a spinoff with you?
I already had two.
I know, but another one.
I know. I want to do 100 more.
Because people naturally love you. I mean, they watch the show, I really think, because of you, Big Ange.
Thanks, Matt.
So
they tell me that, but I don't know about that.
Let's go back to when you first appeared on the show to now. How has the journey been for you?
It's been an experience, that's for sure. A lot of drama up and down.
And you're always the peacemaker.
I'm trying, but it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And now, do you still carry the Bible with you?
The what?
Do you still carry the Bible with you?
Yeah, no, I need to carry one, trust me. But I don't. That thing was too heavy.
So tell us
about... It weighed like 80 pounds.
Right? Well, yeah, that was like a... That was like a lineage, that Bible, right? So, tell us about the final season, and what can we expect from this final season of Mob Wives?
I think it's going to be a great season. There's a lot of drama. It doesn't end. You know, I just feel sad that it's going to be over. It was, it became part of our lives, and everybody's really sad that it's over. What are we going to do? This is what it is. But I think it's going to be the best season yet.
The best season yet. Now, can you give us some of the scoop that's going to happen in the season? What can you talk about?
Actually, not allowed to talk about much. Because it didn't air yet. But I'd say that everybody has to stay tuned every Wednesday to watch it.
You just have to tune in every Wednesday to VH1 to watch Mob Wives. Now, Big Ange, tell me a little bit.
And you got to call me at the end and tell we're going to do this again.
Oh, we're going to definitely have you back at the when they have the season finale, the show. And then we're going to
see.
The reunion. So before we get to the reunion.
Then we can say anything we want about it, whatever we want.
Then you could talk about it all. Then you could give us the real scoop, right?
Exactly.
Now, outside of Mob Wives, tell us a little bit about your life that people might not know about you.
Oh, I'm all about my family. I have 6 grandchildren. I have a son and a daughter and a wonderful daughter-in-law and a son-in-law. I'm always with my family. I have a very big family. They've been there for me through this whole journey of being sick. Right now, I'm just focusing on my health.
Yeah.
And staying with my family.
So,
that's all that's important.
That is all that's important. You know, when we first discovered that cancer was a part of your life, a lot of us were shocked. We went to Twitter. People really were supporting you. They were praying for you. Did you feel that energy coming in?
Please, it didn't stop. I was getting fan mail. I'm talking hundreds and hundreds. Mask, card. I kind of felt like I died. Like mask cards and praying cards and saints and it didn't stop. I was very grateful.
Yeah. Well, the fans love you. I mean, it's a natural. The last time we were hanging out in South Beach, you couldn't even have dinner. They were all around you. Do you find that?
I know. I was, yes, I do. It happened to me. Every day, throw that bridal shower and it happens. My friend is like, oh, she's not here to do that. She's going to do a shower. I said, at the end, I'll take pictures.
Yeah,
I'm taking pictures.
The fans, they do love you because, you know, there's a lot of celebrities out there. For instance, I ran into one last night, you know, and I knew her personally, so we had a nice rapport. But with other people, like, she was not taking pictures. And you are known to love your fans as much as they love you. Was that always part of who you were?
Yes, you know, being in a bar business, being a bartender, my whole life, I had that personality.
Yeah.
people's person, you know?
Now, do you think you'll be opening up a bar again anytime soon, maybe?
Oh, I don't know about that right now. I'm just guest bartending every now and then in Brooklyn at my friend Vaughn. It does very well. I put it on Instagram and they come to see me.
You see? Now, charity-wise, do you get involved with charities?
Yeah, anything I could do to help, I do.
You do? No, you know, I mean, we see that. You know, we see you on Instagram. We see you on Facebook, more on Instagram. And you're out in the community. You're doing your thing. And people love you genuinely. They love you, whether gay or straight. I know the gay community is big. They're like your number one fans, would you say?
Oh, I know. Yes, they are. And they're my number one fans, too.
Yeah.
I love the gay.
The whole community.
They are fun. They're not like partying with the gay community. Thank you very much.
Isn't that the truth? Now,
they spend the money and they have fun.
And they have fun. You know, we just have a tweet here from someone out there in Twitterland, and they want to know if the Ange that they know in the past seasons is going to be the crazy Ange on this final season.
Oh, I'm not that crazy on it, no. Because I was a lot with the doctors this season.
Yeah.
And nobody broke my balls.
Well, that helps.
Exactly.
That helps. Now, on this show, with the final season, you just said that, you know, you spend time with the doctors. Is that really documented on this season?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And how did it feel to have the cameras in such a private aspect of your life?
You know, it is reality TV. You know, everything that happened the last week, it's all real, so there it is.
And there it is.
It's real, and there it is. This is what real life's about. You never know what happened.
How did you find out about your cancer, and how are there ways that people can, you know, detect for themselves, maybe?
I just thought that I had strep throat. I was having a bit of a problem swallowing. So I called them for a prescription for, like, an antibiotic. Mm-hmm. And then, like, 2 weeks, and still nothing happening. I was like, I don't think this is strep throat. I can't swallow. I can't breathe. I think I'm going to die of suffocation. I kept saying. I said, let me go to Columbia Presbyterian to my throat specialist. And I went, and as soon as he looked at my throat, he said, you have a tumor. You have throat cancer. I'm like, what? So when you hear that word cancer, like your knees get weak. By the way, you think, oh, I'm going to die, I got cancer. Mm. But that wasn't the case. I had all the surgeries and everything went smooth.
Yeah.
So, it was a long recovery.
Now, what do you tell people who are listening tonight who they were diagnosed with cancer? What hope do you give them?
Always have positive energy. I don't care if you feel a bit. I always think everything's going to be fine. Never think negative. I'm always positive. I don't care what they say.
Yeah. And that helped you through.
Of course. I'm going to sit and be depressed and lay around. I still do my thing. I go out every day, take care of my grandchildren. I'm always smiling. And I just make it like another part of my day.
Another part of your day. You know, we have another tweet here from someone who says that they're also going through throat cancer, and they just want to know that they pray for you every time they think of themselves, they think of you. So how does it feel to know that people out there, when they think of their lives, you're a part of their life?
I know. It feels really good.
Yeah.
It makes me feel nice. And it makes me say I'll get through this. And it makes you stronger.
Yeah. Well, it's nice to have that community that's rooting for you. People, you know, again, when people send you the love, you feel it, right, Ange?
You can't imagine how many saints and rosaries and this and that I've given.
Now, growing up, did you ever think you were going to be on a reality show?
No. Didn't even think it 5 years ago.
No, didn't now, right? And then... we have a tweet here. Someone wants to know if you remember the first time the show aired. How did you feel?
When I was on it or the first season?
When you were on it.
I was like, oh my God, I don't look too good. Oh my God, I've been tech cat. Oh, I've been through this, I've been through that, because, you know, see stuff on TV. I was like, oh, maybe I got to lose some weight.
Well, they loved
it. I better start changing up the look. Oh, yeah.
Right.
And that's not weird watching myself.
Now, how did your family feel watching you on the big screen, so to say, on the TV
screen? Oh, please, they're the biggest fans I have.
They are.
They sure are, trust me.
Now, I have a tweet here. Someone wants to know, did you finish your house, and are you still living in it?
Oh, yeah, I finished it. All four floors.
All four floors. Which was the easiest
bedrooms on the fourth. My master bedroom is on the fourth floor. It's like torture to get up here. Tell me to get up here. I can't even walk.
You're ready for that?
Exactly. The easiest floor was the kitchen floor, second floor.
Now, do you love to cook too, Big Ange?
Yes, I'm a big cook.
You are. What's your favorite meal?
Of course, I'm Italian.
What's your favorite meal?
Sunday
to cook?
Sunday sauce.
Now, I have a question, though, for me. Why don't, like, you should do a cookbook. Why don't you have a cookbook out there yet?
I know I should.
Right?
I wanted to do it, and then I got caught up, get sick, and then I had five grandchildren in 2 years, and I just never had the right moment.
Well, we hope that the moment comes, because I would love to have a cookbook from you. It's like having you in the kitchen all the time.
Oh, I'm the best cook, and I make the best food.
You do.
I'm just laying here thinking what I'm going to make for tomorrow.
Now, are you going to be in Florida anytime soon?
I'm coming down April for the whole 6 weeks.
Then will you cook me a dinner?
Definitely. I live in Pompano, you know.
I know. So we're going to have you. I'm going to have to come over for dinner with Big Ange, and then we're going to have to tell everyone about. Listen, I'm like your biggest fan, so I definitely want to see a cookbook from you. If there's any way that I could help you, let me know, because I have some great people, a great team, and I would.
You know, I started writing, and I got like 100 recipes in it already.
Like, you're good to go. Like, that's all you. I think, you know what? We're going to talk after the show.
It's in a I wrote it down in a marble book.
Uh-huh.
So I do have it. I wrote it down in the marble book.
So we're going to have to we're going to talk after the show. We'll talk tomorrow, and we'll definitely figure out how we can move this forward. Because I got to see this book.
Maybe I'll bring it with me in April and show it to you.
Perfect. Well, I'm so excited to see you coming up in April. And I'm even more excited to see you this Wednesday night on VH1 Mob Wives. Check your local listings for times. And before I let you go, Ange, is there anything you want to tell the listeners tonight just to keep them motivated every day?
I want to tell everybody, I really appreciate you being my fans. I love you so much. Left with you. To you fans, this could have never happened to me. Keep watching. Hopefully another station will pick it up.
Indeed. And before I let you go, what's something that you live by, like a quote that inspires you to get through the day?
I say it's all about the family and the food.
It's all about the family and the food. And it's all about you, Big Ange. I'm so grateful to have you here tonight. I'll pray for you tonight just so that you have continued strength so that you could be here with us and just enjoy life and be with your family, because we need some Big Ange in our life every day.
All right. Thank you, Max.
It's my pleasure. Love you much. And I'm going to talk to you and see you in April.
Okay, bye.
Have a blessed night. Bye.
Bye, everybody.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Sushi. We got to wind this show up. I was going to play a song for you all, but we just don't have time. Big Ange, I love you so much. Thanks for spending some time with us here on Max and Friends. It's been long overdue. We were supposed to have you here a while ago, but like I always say, right now is exactly where we're supposed to be at this exact moment. Is exactly where we're supposed to be. Hey, you all, you are here not to shrink down to less, but to blossom into more of who you really are. So who really are you? Find out by looking in the mirror and telling yourself first, I love you. And I promise you, be still, meditate, pray, whatever, and in the silence, you will hear exactly who you are and what you're supposed to do. Your life is big, so keep reaching. Reach to the max is what I have to say. But we're going to just, like, wind this show out. I love you all for listening. I really do. be kind to one another, like Ellen says. Really be kind to one another. Because all we really want from one another is love. And, you know, we felt that love with Ange, and she feels that love with you all. Every time you pray for her, you send her something, she feels the love. So continue to do that for Big Ange and just for humanity, for someone that you love in your life. Spend some time with them. Pick up the phone tomorrow. All right, I dare you all, Max dare, I dare you all tomorrow to pick up the phone and call someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time. Whatever it was, for indifferences, for better or worse, for life, for letting it just slip by and you forgot. Pick up the phone and call someone and let me know how it happened. Hashtag Max Dare, hashtag Max and Friends, and tweet me at Max Tucci. Speaking of for better or for worse, y'all know that I'm like ordained now and I could wed you in the state of Florida. So I wanted to. I would love to be the person who officiates your wedding. So hit me up at Max Tucci. Let me know. I love you all for listening. Stay tuned to Max and Friends every Sunday night here on LA Talk Radio. And tune into all the other great shows. Ronnie, thanks so much for helping tonight's show. Nikki Haskell, love you for being here. Hunter Cross, your voice is so good on the radio. For all who tuned in, thank you again. Take life to the max this week, and remember to love one another. Just love one another. That's all I really have to say. And of course, take life to the max. Until next time, good night and good karma. I'm your host, Max Tucci, from Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio.